Let us pray. Holy God, send your Spirit among us now. Having heard this word from the book of James, we seek to hear your word to us, to make a difference in our lives. May your Spirit move through me as I share the word that you've given. In Jesus' name, amen. A loving father tells this story. He says, "My wife was busy one evening making porcelain dolls at a doll-making class, leaving me at home to watch our two children, Melinda, 7, and Craig, who is 5. And while I was chatting with a neighbor on the front porch, the phone rang. My son, Craig, answered the phone promptly and very politely. My pride, though, in him vanished as I heard my son's response to the caller's request to speak to my wife. "No, my mommy's not here. She's out making a baby. But my dad is here if you want to talk to him." Of course, the phone call was from an elder in the church. All I can say, "Mom, I know you're watching. I'm glad you're not here to tell stories." Oh, the innocence of children. Words that we say and how we say them is what we are going to be thinking about today. The scripture from the book of James that was read for you this morning points out the obvious, that words have power to heal or destroy, to tear down a person or to build up a person or a relationship, a community, or even a church. According to statisticians, the average person spends at least 1/5 of his or her life talking. Ordinarily, in a single day, enough words are used to fill a 50-page book. In 1 year's time, the average person's words would fill 132 books, each containing 400 pages. That's a lot of talking. The power of the tongue cannot be overestimated. This passage of scripture deals with the tremendous power of the tongue, mainly on the evil side. The description given here is one of the tongue that is uncontrolled by the Spirit of God. In verse 2, we are told the sign of a mature Christian is one who has his or her tongue under control. It says that if we are able to bridle, meaning to check, to restrain, or moderate the tongue, we can control the whole of our lives. Our words can bring comfort and encouragement, even life, or they can bring discouragement, defeat, and even death. And I think this scripture, if it was written today, it would be extended specifically to reach out also to the words we use in our technology, through texting, through emails. Those words can be very hurtful too. Rabbi Joseph Talushkin, author of Words That Hurt, Words That Heal, often lectures on the impact of words. He asks audiences if they can go 24 hours without saying any unkind words about another person or to another person. Now, invariably, a small number of listeners raise their hands signifying, "Oh yeah, I can do that." Others just laugh. And quite a large number call out, "No, I can't do that." Talushkin says, "Those of you who can answer yes must recognize that you have a serious problem." He goes on to say, if you cannot go 24 hours without drinking liquor, you're addicted to alcohol, they say. If you cannot go 24 hours without smoking, you're addicted to nicotine. Similarly, if you cannot go 24 hours without saying unkind words about others, then you've lost control of your tongue. We don't need to look far to find examples of the negative power of words. Every day we hear how words are used to manipulate people and even the work in our government. Even before officials are elected to government positions, around the times of elections, we see and we hear negative commercials designed to hurt one's opponents. I don't know about you, but during election times, I get sick and tired of hearing the candidates tear each other down. I would really rather hear them talk about themselves, their stand on the issues, and their plans, the plans they have for leading our nation, our state, and the communities we live in, if they were to be elected. If you don't remember what that's like, just wait. It'll be here soon again when all those commercials will come. In today's scripture reading, James began his message about the use of words by addressing teachers. Teachers were highly respected in James' day. Lots of people wanted to be teachers. He wanted teachers, in particular, teachers of the word, to remember that they have a greater responsibility for the proper use of words because of their influence on those hungry to learn. Well, that indeed is true today too, isn't it? I guess I would add to this list of teachers are our parents, our grandparents, and our great-grandparents who need to heed this special warning too. They have a special role in the lives of children. I can't tell you how many people have come to me over the years of ministry who describe to me a childhood when they've been told by parents or teachers that they will never really amount to anything. Maybe you're one of them. Let me remind you of what is written in verse 5. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. I'll say that again. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. And I think that could be said also about words that should come out of your mouth and don't come out of your mouth. Can nearly do anything. We need to care about what we say. And many adults who had their self-worth broken when they were children by parents and teachers who carelessly put them down grew up wondering, what's wrong with me? What made them feel so unlovable? And now as adults, they have a hard time finding their value and purpose in society. I know the struggle of that. My dad was not one to share his emotions too often. He didn't tell me that he loved me when I was a child. But in all fairness to him, he grew up in a culture, the old order Amish, where those feelings just weren't expressed. You kept everything to yourself. And later in life, when I was an adult and I confronted him with some issues, I asked him why he never told me he loved me. And his response was that unlike my younger brother, he didn't think I needed to hear it. He always felt that I was the strong one and just didn't need to hear it. He always felt that I was strong, the strong one. I didn't always feel like the strong one. But everyone needs to hear the words, I love you. And I am fortunate and I am blessed to be able to stand before you today to say that in later years, my father was free with telling me that he loved me. Makes all the difference. It takes a lot of work, a lot of work for those adults who are not nurtured with words of love to overcome issues related to low self-esteem that they fostered over the years. And unfortunately, some of them never do that work and free themselves. Think about this too. What we say tells others a lot about who we are. Our words reveal our values. They are a dead giveaway for what we hold dear to our hearts. That's important for a Christian to remember because we want to draw people toward Jesus, not push them away. If Christians are heard gossiping, continuously complaining, putting down others, judging, manipulating, and just being downright negative about everything or nearly everything, non-believers are left to question whether knowing Jesus really makes a difference. The words used by a Christian should express love, understanding, acceptance, concern, and compassion. Even when trying to challenge or correct someone, a disciple of Christ will do so with words that will build another up rather than belittle them and tear them down. Believers will stop and ask themselves before speaking, especially in difficult situations, is what I want to say really true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? It's kind of unnerving to think about how much damage we can do with our words. We need to remember that after our words are spoken, and you know what I'm going to say here, you all know this, we can't take them back. They're out there. The damage has already been done. We can't expect people to just forget words and move on. It may take a long time to repair the damage done to a relationship or to a person's emotional self, if it can be repaired at all. James compares our words to an out-of-control raging forest fire. More than 1,000 firefighters battled a wildfire for 2 weeks in the Black Hills of South Dakota on August 24, 2000, and it was not contained until September the 8th. Meanwhile, more than 80,000 acres of valuable timber burned. Janice Stevenson, 46, was arrested on suspicion of starting the fire. And she pled guilty to second-degree arson, was sentenced to 25 years in the South Dakota State Penitentiary, and ordered to pay restitution in the amount of $42,204,155.48. Federal investigators who filed charges against Stevenson say she admits to stopping by a road on August 24th, lighting a cigarette and tossing the still-burning match on the ground. Rather than putting the fire out, an affidavit said, she looked at it and decided to leave the area. Like starting a forest fire, producing a wildfire with our tongues requires very little effort. Rumors, half-truths, grumbling, sarcastic remarks, hurtful things said in the heat of anger, all of these smoldering matches have the potential for burning down acres and acres of community morale, family peace, and church unity. James wrote that our tongue, which is a small part of being, cannot be tamed. So the question then we might ask ourselves is, why even bother? Why bother to try to control our tongues if we can't anyhow? One commentator wrote, even if we may not achieve perfect control of our tongues, we can still learn enough control to reduce the damage of our words. It's better to fight a fire than to go around setting new ones. The truth is that if we want to have any control over the tongue, brothers and sisters, if we want to have any control over our tongue, we need to pay attention to our inner lives, which our inner lives, which feeds whether we are cursing somebody or blessing them. If we read the entire book of James, we find that a major theme of his is that faith without works is dead. Faith without works and the right words is dead. Seems to me that James makes a similar point through this message about the use of the words. The point being that what's inside a person determines our choice of words that we will use. If we're going to be the kind of people who use words wisely, then we've got to first cultivate an inner life that sees everyone as a friend created in God's image. We need a vision, a life that doesn't put us at the center of the universe. Listen to that. We need a vision of life that doesn't put us at the center of the universe, which is so countercultural to our culture. It's all about me in our culture, isn't it? It's all about me. But rather, centers on God and God's purposes. The God who spoke the word of creation and sent the word to become flesh in his own Son urges us to choose the kind of words that reflect his character, his life, and his love. Nancy Ortberg wrote in a sermon, "I needed to do some last-minute Christmas shopping, but was having difficulty finding a parking space." Oh, I've been there. How about you? "I finally saw a couple carrying a lot of bags and walking very slowly to their car. And I thought, if I can follow them down the aisle and wait for them to get into their car, that parking space is going to be mine. So I waited patiently with my blinker on." You know what's coming, don't you? "The couple put their gifts in the trunk, and he opened the door for his wife, and I thought to myself, this is no time for chivalry. Get in the car and go. They pulled out slowly, and just as I was ready to turn in, a beat-up old van pulled in front of me and stole my space. My space. I got out of my car, and I had a little chat with that driver. Had my mother been there, she would have washed my mouth out with soap. I chatted with such interesting words that he backed up out of that parking space and left me in. I felt really good initially. I thought, I'm good. I stood up for my rights. I'm pretty darn feisty. But then the verse came into my head that says, the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a person unclean, which you find in Matthew 15, verse 18. The painful truth is that the Bible says the condition of my heart is reflected by what comes out of my mouth and how I live my life. She says, many days later, I came to the conclusion I was wrong. And I told God my actions and words did indeed reflect the condition of my heart, and I wasn't proud of it. Now, I've never done this exact same thing. I may have thought it, which is a topic for another sermon at another time. But I know that I have said things that I'm not proud of. Things that I regret saying. Words that I chose when I wasn't focused on Jesus. We've all done this, haven't we? We've all done this. And chances are high that we're going to do it again. Thank goodness we can be forgiven as we repent to our Savior. And we have another chance. May we learn from our failures, and may we all remember that words have a lot of power, and may we use that power to bring honor and glory alone to our God and to build one another up. Amen.